This is episode 8 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 8th episode of Encounter Points. I'm Ken Hellenius.
And I'm Bill Schmidt.
In the last couple of episodes, we've talked about beauty and music and how they are expressions of and invitations to joy. We've been chatting about great topics, but I must say I've really been looking forward to this week's conversation.
Might you say that you've been starving to talk about this topic?
Come on, Bill. Let's not leave these good people hungering anymore for what we have to say. Let's get to the meat of this conversation.
And you sound like you have food on the mind.
Well, Bill, hello.
Yeah. Hello, Ken.
Welcome back to the Southbrook Studios.
Yes, this is a very fine abode here.
It seems every week when we get together, we, for me, it's a delight because we've just spent the last half hour, you know, kvetching. No, actually, we haven't even complained about that much. But we've been just sharing fellowship, catching up
right
on what's been going on. And,
right,
you know, these sorts of things, going over our notes that we've made. We've talked about all sorts of things. And now with the machine recording,
yes,
it's time to get down to the meat of why we're here.
Ooh,
and
yes.
I like to use the word meat there,
right,
because that's a phrase when we talk about get to the meat of the matter.
Yes.
That's something we can all relate to,
yes,
as long as we're
true.
Not vegans.
Right, right.
But it's important because it's related to food, which is our topic for the evening.
Yes, and a very good topic it is.
Indeed. One food and drink. And really, this came up last week before we recorded when we were talking about just this thought of breaking bread together and sharing table fellowship.
Right.
And for me, I'll just start. I mean, for me, when I was a Dominican in religious life, and even before that, when I was in college, which was indeed at a Benedictine, you know, abbey at St. Meinrad, the most delightful times of the day, or at St. Meinrad, it was Sunday after Mass, was sitting at table and enjoying a fine meal, or as fine a meal as you could get in that context.
Right.
Sharing the conversation and just everybody happy to be there.
Yes.
We were doing something that we have to do, right?
Yes.
We have to eat in order to live.
Right.
But the Lord, in his great kindness, made the experience of eating also an occasion of pleasure.
Yeah.
For so many of us.
Yeah,
for most people, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so this idea of table fellowship really is where we wanted to have this this departure point, because we're talking about places and ways and methods and avenues of encounter.
Right.
Of opportunities for discussion, heart to heart, to share the joy that we have in our hearts.
Right.
To share the gift that we have received, the joy of the gift of faith that we've received.
Yes.
And one of the best places, one of the best ways to do that is when we are in a wonderful mood and when we are enjoying something together.
That's right.
Like a meal.
Just ask any pastor of a parish what's key to helping to grow the attendance at a parish event. In the evening, it would be make sure that the pizza's there and right,
some
pizza and soda or whatever, and so the food helps to start the party going and continues then to kind of facilitate the conversation and, as you say, the bonds of friendship it's just enlivening and it traces back to our other big theme of joy.
Yeah.
And joy can't really be a solo experience, I guess. I'll have to think
perhaps
about that.
Perhaps for those who you know, are deep in contemplation, perhaps.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
yes.
kind of that spiritual joy. But for the most part, when we think
it's
of
usually
simple
a relationship
joy, yeah.
joy. Yes.
Yeah, it's in the context of sharing something with another.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. And that's the way to certainly, even if you experience it in a solo kind of way, what you're supposed to do with joy, just as you're supposed to do with any blessing, is share it,
yeah.
Spread it around.
Yeah.
And that's done in relationship, and that's often helped by food.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. I have many friends that are in the food service industry.
Ah.
You know, chefs and people who are involved in wine and beer. I mean, I myself have been a home brewer in past, and I still dabble every now and then, and I'd like to do more of it. And it's I always told my great brewer friend, Chris, you know, think about what you do for a living. All the toil that you do, in the end, is producing a product that people are delighted to have.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, the irony is that alcohol is a depressant. But mm-hmm. for the most part, people are happy to go have a pint.
Right.
You know, people are delighted to take part in a chef's table dinner where they are sitting at the table in the center of the kitchen and watching all of the activity around them preparing this wonderful multi-course meal.
Yes.
I've been blessed to go to many of these kind of chef's table dinners with my friends at Bon Appetit back at the University of Portland. And they are just absolutely delightful occasions. Certainly helped by the fact that, you know, it's always accompanied by many rounds of wine as
that
well.
That helps. Mm-hmm.
Definitely helps. But the food is wonderful, and the people are happy to be putting their art and their skill at the service of making others happy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so I think a lot about food. And I think we were talking earlier, you know, my bride and I have embarked upon a new diet plan, way of eating, as the people on the groups on the Facebook groups discuss it. They call it a woe, a way of eating, W-O-E. And it took me a while to realize, why are you celebrating your woes? We were talking about this concept of you know, being a couple. Julie and I, the two of us here, if one of us alone were trying to diet, that would actually be very, very difficult, not just because you need the encouragement of the other, but also when we sit down to eat dinner together, we are sharing
something. That's right.
And sharing something includes being able to take a bite of the same thing and be like, wow, this is wonderful, or, well, this didn't work out as well, and be able to discuss what you're doing. It's truly sharing and consuming the same thing.
Yes.
And if only one of us were dieting,
right,
it would be so much more difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this represents for us an opportunity to grow closer together, because we need to encourage one another. We need to rely upon one another every day. As you know, changing your way of eating is also not easy.
Oh, no.
But what does this do? It's an opportunity for deeper communion as a couple.
Ah. Yes, you know, indeed.
So.
And as you were talking about sharing one kind of food being the most profound way of eating and relationship building, I was thinking of the Mass.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And communion and one bread, one body.
One bread, one cup, one body.
One cup, exactly.
Around the world.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is one of the things that I think about all the time.
Yeah.
When I go to Mass, I've been blessed to go to St. Peter's multiple times, and going to Mass in a language I don't speak
right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I know what's going on, and I know that in the moment that I go and present myself for Holy Communion, I am truly in communion
That's
with
right.
everybody
That's
around me.
Right.
We are partaking of the one bread and the one cup.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
And how important is it that Christ himself chose the context of the supper to be that
exactly.
thing that he gives us to feed us,
right?
To nourish us for our journey, our Christian journey, but also to bring us together, right?
That's right.
And to say, do this in memory of me.
Exactly.
We have a lot of other things we're supposed to do too, right? We're supposed to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Yes. But the thing we do every week, the highlight of the week, as the church says, the source and summit of the entire Christian life.
Exactly.
Is the Blessed Eucharist.
Right.
Is the Mass, the celebration of the death and resurrection, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord as represented to us
in the sacred mass. Yes, yeah. It was this gathering of friends over food and wine, and in the context of religious tradition, there was Jewish tradition embodied in this meal, right?
You might say prefigured in the Old Testament, right?
Exactly.
Right? The manna, the what is it? A gift of God feeding his people in the midst of their journey, of their sojourn in the desert,
right?
Which is for us, of course, the concept of this toil, this valley of tears, as we say prayer in the Salve Regina,
right?
You know, They were fed and subsisted on God. And as soon as they entered the promised land, guess what happened? The manna stopped immediately.
Yes.
Once they entered into the promised land, the land of milk and honey.
Right, that's right. Even a better menu.
Which, by the way, on the diet, I can have neither milk nor honey.
Oh, gosh.
I know. It's a little awkward. I can't actually have bread or wine either. So the Eucharist is, of course, I'm not going to stop that.
So
some saints actually subsisted entirely on the Eucharist for years.
I know. I remember those
I'm not
stories.
Quite there.
That would be somewhat tough. And didn't John the Baptist eat locusts?
Locusts and wild honey.
Yeah.
Does not sound delicious.
No, I don't know. That's a diet book that I don't think would sell well at Barnes & Noble. I really don't.
Yeah.
Although I see that gentleman on the food channel eating locusts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He seems to think
foods guy.
Yeah, gross foods.
Yeah, no,
yeah, bizarre foods.
Bizarre foods. Andrew Zimmern.
Andrew Zimmern. God bless him.
Think about that. You know, I'm really glad you brought that
up.
There are two channels on basic cable that are devoted to solely to cooking.
Yes.
There's the cooking channel and there's the Food Network.
Yes. Yes.
We are a people entirely obsessed with getting calories into our bodies.
No, we are.
Whatever form, no matter how bizarre they may be.
We
watch people make cakes. We watch people bake delicious goods, in a tent in Britain.
Right.
Which, by the way, is a wonderful show if you've seen
my
the
wife
British Bake Off.
I swear by that show. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But Julie just reminded me the other day that we have not seen any of this current season that's airing in the United States because we watched them all when they were in Britain.
Oh.
Because the internet allows you to do these sorts of things.
Right.
But, I mean, this is a show in which you enter into, again, talk about people putting their art at the service of making others happy.
That's right.
You know?
Yes.
And it's, food is central to us. And again, the thing that I'm always amazed at, we have to eat. But that doesn't mean it has to be pleasant. You know, we have to brush our teeth.
Right.
That doesn't mean we really necessarily enjoy it. You know, we have to use the restroom. That doesn't mean we necessarily, it's a moment of great pleasure for us. Eating can be, which is why I think, you know, these products like Solient. Have you heard of the product Solient? These are meal replacement shakes.
Ooh, okay.
Which,
you sure you're not speaking of the Charlton Heston movie?
Well, that's, of course, where the title comes from.
Is that right?
Yeah, these people are sick in the head. I think it's hilarious.
Ah.
So Solient is this line of shakes, and apparently, like the first generations, these were developed like on Kickstarter, kind of like multiple iterations, this guy trying to find the exact, you know, the exact formula that would allow you to live entirely on Solient.
Gee.
And the first generations apparently tasted like drinking chalk.
Yeah.
And now they flavor them a little bit, and they've really decreased the amount of intestinal disfortitude that comes with them. So this is not a product placement ad for the Solient product, because
Fair
I've
enough.
Not had it, and it also is not on the diet, so I don't need to worry about that.
Right.
These products, however, while they appeal to a certain type of person, maybe a person who looks at a meal as, I simply need to recharge so I can get back to my job or whatever it might be.
Right.
They're unsustainable. Nobody is going to sit around and enjoy a shake around a circle, around a table.
No, that's right.
We're never going to have the Thanksgiving Solient.
Oh, please God.
Yeah. Please God.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know.
But we do spend an awful lot of our time eating, ordering, and then eating food in the drive-in, the drive-by aisle. Drive-through at McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is kind of sad to think that, you know, an activity that's so ideally shared has become very obsessed with speed and solitude.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. That is that moment. It's certainly solitude, right? The person who goes through the drive-thru at lunchtime eats, you know, either maybe even will park in the parking lot, eat his meal, and then drive back to work. You know, it's a convenience as well, obviously, when you've got your family in the car, we got to do this because we're on our way to soccer, whatever it might
right.
be. You know, while it's convenient, it's not conducive to sharing fellowship with your family around the table.
No,
right?
That's right.
I mean, that's just what you can't get that when you're all facing the same direction in the car.
That's
you know,
right.
And especially shoving fries in your mouth or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And our families have really suffered along the way by the loss of more convivial and eye to eye contact kinds of food encounters with each other.
Yeah.
And it cannot just be the fast food joint approach to food.
It's even if you have to get out of the car to go get the food, just
at
to
least
bring
there,
it back.
At least then you're right. You're communicating with other people. Although I guess in a few years they're saying that you'll be communicating with a robot.
With a robot, yeah, exactly. I think they've tried that in a couple of the McDonald's.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
Ironically, or not ironically, but sadly. In response to the push for a more living wage for people who are involved in these. So,
good
I mean,
point,
like,
yes.
You know, how then are people supposed to live if their jobs get eliminated?
Yeah.
And then they can't afford to feed themselves.
That's right.
So, yeah,
that's right.
It's not awesome.
Yeah.
Again, bringing back to food, right? Food being at the center of so much of what we all have to do it.
That's right, and that's a good thing. And I think it must be because God intended it to be a bond building relationship, a relationship kind of thing.
You know, even in I think about the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the temple. So many of them were actually a part of the animal was. Consumed in what actually the word that they use is in the Holocaust, in the burnt offering.
That's right.
The word for it is Holocaust.
Yeah.
So only a portion of the turtle dove or I guess probably all of the small things like the turtle doves. But if somebody, you know, was offering a ram or a bull,
right,
a portion of it was actually cut. It was prayed over.
Right.
And then a portion of it was cut and given to the person who made the offering, and a portion was given to the priest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the portion that was given to the person who made the offering was meant to be then cooked and shared as part of a meal with the community, with their community, maybe their family. Think about, of course, the Passover.
Right.
I mean, we talked about this earlier, right? The context of the Last Supper was a Passover meal.
Right.
And the Passover meal was this reminder of the blessings of the Lord and how the Lord protects his chosen.
Right.
But it was something that the entire family was to share, as it says in the book of Exodus. The entire household is to consume of this sacrificed lamb and of the bitter herbs and of the bread and of all of these things. And if the family is not large enough to procure an entire lamb, then they go in proportionally with their neighbor.
Ah.
You know, and so again, a community event.
Yes.
And so I think a lot about these sorts of things is, again, the offerings that we make to the Lord are from this bounty,
right?
You know, from thy bounty,
exactly.
Christ our Lord, as we say in our blessing prayer and our grace, we offer it back to the Lord.
Exactly. Yep, lots of different relationships going on, the vertical and the horizontal, and then if that saying of grace at a restaurant can be used as a tool of evangelization, all the better. That spreads the blessing even more broadly.
Well, it does spread the blessing more broadly, right?
Yes.
Making the sign of the cross in public at a restaurant is an act of evangelization, certainly.
Yes.
It's also a prayer, right? I mean,
exactly.
Every time we make the sign of the cross, we're invoking the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, asking them to include us in their internal life.
That's right.
You know, in their life of love and their communion of love.
Right, exactly. And that's where we get the idea of the abundance of their life, they're sharing the abundance of their eternal life with
the very
us.
Act of creation is itself
exactly
an abundance,
and, right?
Yeah.
And so then, from Thy bounty through Christ our Lord, Amen. It's a nice reminder that ties it all together.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I was reading this book by Father James Martin, a Jesuit. He's written this book, which is a bit controversial.
Uh-huh.
You need to acknowledge that. Called Building a Bridge. It's a book about the church's relationship to and with the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
But in the page 34 to 35, I found myself amazed. I was like, wait a minute, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about in Encounter Points. So Father Martin says in Building a Bridge, in Luke's gospel, Jesus meets Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho. This is from the 19th chapter of Luke's gospel. In that story, Zacchaeus, who is described as short in stature, climbed a sycamore tree because he wanted to see who Jesus was. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus perched in the tree, he saw a person seeking to encounter him.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he was the chief tax collector and therefore would have been considered the chief sinner in that society, Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house to meet with him over dinner.
Yeah.
Jesus was willing to be with, stand with, and befriend these people. The movement for Jesus was always from the outside in. His message was always one of inclusion, communicated through speaking to people, healing them, and offering them what biblical scholars call table fellowship. That is, dining with them,
right.
A sign of welcome and acceptance in first century Palestine. In fact, Jesus was often criticized for this practice. But Jesus' movement was all about inclusion. He was creating a sense of us. For with Jesus, there is no us and them. There is only us.
And when
we say, bless us, O Lord,
and these thy gifts. Exactly.
You know.
And I'm thinking of the woman at the well where Jesus used a cup of water as the tool for outreach to this woman to bring in an inclusion that was not typical in that society.
Right. Or, of course, obviously, the wedding at Cana.
Exactly.
Where the gift of wine is what begins Jesus's, as St. John says, the first of the signs which he performed.
Yes.
You know, was this changing water into wine. And, oh, how I wish more of us had that gift.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think that proof that Jesus wants us to have joy is there in that first miracle.
Yeah.
So I like that story, right?
Well, and you know, that's such a great story. So we had it as the gospel reading at our wedding.
Oh.
And I've thought a lot about this story over the years, especially this aspect of kind of an acknowledgement where the chief steward says, you know, comes to him and says, look, normally we wait until people are good and drunk.
Right.
We use the good stuff first. Then when they're good and drunk, they won't recognize that we're giving them really terrible wine.
Right.
But look at what you've done. You've held the good stuff until now. You know, what does this imply? We're already drunk. Everybody here is already trashed.
Yeah.
And now you're bringing out the good stuff.
Yeah.
So all of this, you know, again, I've never heard anybody else talking about kind of this aspect of the gospel passage there before.
Yeah.
But it does acknowledge one thing that we haven't talked about yet, and that is the abuse of food and drink.
Right.
You know, we've made reference every now and then to, you know, bulimia and anorexia, people who have unhealthy relationship to food.
Yes, that's always a possibility.
And this is one of those things that obviously, you know, too much of a good thing is actually not a good thing.
That's right.
You know, it's this is why we have the virtues, right? Prudence,
that's right.
Justice, fortitude, and temperance, especially temperance,
right?
And prudence, these two being quite related. It's a result of our fallen nature,
right?
You know that we tend to excess in one way or another. I have an addictive personality. I know this. So when I get excited about something, I'm going to go all in. And then the passion will move and I'll change and I'll be on to something else all in, you know. But with food and drink, it is something that can destroy people's lives, especially drink.
Yes, that's right.
And it's unfortunate that the temperance movement in America in the 19th and 20th century co-opted the word temperance. Temperance does not mean a total abstaining. It means proper use.
Exactly. We were talking in roughly those terms when we had our discussion about beauty, the
yes.
importance of proper proportion.
Yeah.
And that, yes, indeed, one way to appreciate food and drink best is to consume it in its proper proportion.
In due season, if you
in
will.
In due season, exactly. Or with due seasoning, perhaps,
yes,
in some
yes,
cases.
Indeed. Yeah. Nobody wants the bland stuff. For if salt loses its savor, with which
see that?
What is
we
it
are
to
supposed
salted?
To be salt. That's right. That's right. That's
salt
right.
and light, I believe.
Salt and light, yes. That's why...
light salt. Know. That's why I use Morton Light salt.
Oh, and that's why
yeah.
I use Miller Light.
Nice.
Yes, yes. So we are trying to
yeah,
be good
in
Catholics
our own
here.
Way. In our
yes,
own ways,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You know, you bloom where you planted, what I say.
Exactly. And you come to think of it, the whole idea of sowing seed, which is very much a part of evangelization.
Indeed.
That's
it's the wheat.
Right.
Which
it's
falls.
The wheat.
Right.
And the Lord wants us to be fruitful.
Yep.
And he wants us to plant properly and harvest properly, and all of those, in a sense, are food
yeah.
terms. The Lord does tie everything back to that because it is so elementary to everything, every aspect of life
who
and
we
community.
Are. Well, Bill, this has been a marvelous conversation, and now I really just want food and drink. You know?
Well, that's often the sign of a good conversation.
That's
either
right.
it's... preceded by food and drink, or followed up by
it leads into yeah.
oh, right, exactly. Yeah. So yes.
Well, at the wrap up party afterward, you know, we'll go and we'll have ourselves, you know, a couple of pints. We'll have grab a handful of delicious peanuts, whatever beer nuts, if you will.
Beer yeah, nuts, right?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I actually thought beer nuts was a medical condition, but but
oh,
I'm not going to say that.
Oh,
this isn't the
goodness.
This isn't the show on comedy. Don't worry, we can edit this out, right? Yeah.
Please, God. But yeah, no, I have nothing more to add to that other than the whole conversation has been food for thought. It's been very good
very
in the
good.
Best sense, yes.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Likewise.
We sincerely hope that this episode has left you satisfied, but that you left room for one more conversation, a dessert, if you will. You can subscribe to the entire series at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.